this will make obsolete the oil industry. Scalar energy will make obsolete the need for the pharmaceutical product to address herpes. So, you know, put all that together, this is not only a billion-dollar industry, it will be a trillion-dollar industry.
Greetings and love, you beautiful humans. It's Ben, co-host of the Terrain Theory podcast. This week, Mike and I brought on Tom Palladino to talk about his work with Scalar Light, also known as Chi, Prana, or God Consciousness. Tom walks us through our current understanding of Scalar Light and the inherent challenges of applying scientific rigor to the burgeoning field. We talk about Nikola Tesla's work with Scalar Energy, the marriage of science and religion, and how Tom uses his Scalar Light machine to heal thousands of people using just a photograph. Sound unbelievable? Well, listen on and decide for yourself. Welcome back to Terrain Theory. Okay, we are live. Tom Palladino, welcome to the Terrain Theory podcast. Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, gentlemen.
Let's start off with a softball. What is Scalar Light and how is it different from just plain old light?
Yeah, we're going to speak about a new technology, Scalar Light, which is not electricity. How does it differ? Well, there are frankly two different dimensions. So it's really easy to understand if there's two energies, then there's two separate dimensions. Many people call scalar energy a zero-point energy, or some would call it chi or prana. So I'm working with a different dimension. And this is the dimension that Nikola Tesla, frankly, was so enthralled with. I'm enthralled with it because scalar energy can accomplish such incredible technological feats. Just incredible what we can do with the energy.
So, okay, different dimension. I'm familiar, you know, I think many of us are familiar with dimensions, length, width, depth, time, probability, yes, all the way up to whatever, I think infinite possibility, I think is the 10th dimension.
Yes.
So where does scalar light fit in with that understanding of dimensions?
Everything that you just said describes scalar energy. So what is this? It's a presence. It's an omnipresence. It's consciousness. It's everywhere.
Okay.
It's, the sun and the stars, if you will, broadcast this energy, but if every star broadcasts scalar energy, then it's everywhere in the universe, right? There's trillions upon trillions of stars. Now, if this energy is different than that of electricity, how? Well, you're right, it transcends time and space. So if this energy is everywhere instantaneously, then it does indeed transcend time and space. It's the dimension of thought, or it's the dimension of non-physical being. It's the spirit energy.
So I think you, and I would imagine that for the listener, some bells rang when you compared it to chi or prana, or said essentially it's the same thing. Why is it called scalar light?
Well, the scientific community is just starting to embrace this concept. So scalar energy vis-a-vis electromagnetic energy, those are the two terms that are in vogue today. I've read in various physics textbooks that they will consider the notion of scalar energy. I've never read in academia that they're considering chi or prana energy. Mm. So if the scientific community is embracing some concept, they'll either call it quantum energy or Tesla energy or scalar energy.
Okay.
Nonetheless, synonymous terms are consciousness, prana, chi, life force energy.
And from what I understand, this originates where? In the, you said sun or stars?
Yes, yes. This is the energy that gives life to the universe. I've often considered what causes the sun and the stars to have light and heat. What is the driving force? And I believe it's this perpetual energy source. So in order to have a perpetual energy and be able to drive the universe, which is perpetual, well, what is that? It can't be electricity. Electricity experiences entropy. So in my estimation, scalar energy, zero-point energy, chi, prana, is the driving force, the animating force of the stars. And if you look at the universe, where does light come from? The stars. So that very quintessence has to be in my estimation, a perpetual energy, which is scalar energy.
Understood. And the idea also being that we're in an infinite universe that is expanding infinitely.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Got it.
Very good. And that goes hand in hand. If the universe really is infinite, then it needs an infinite model. Now, if electromagnetic energy can only travel at 186,000 miles per second, that's not an infinite description. That certainly would not fit the paradigm. So you would need an energy, a source of information that was all-encompassing, mm-hmm. that could essentially assimilate itself throughout the universe instantaneously. So if electrical current can only travel at 186,000 miles per second, that's not the instantaneous communication that you need. Really, the only paradigm that can explain an infinite universe is an infinite energy. Mm-hmm. And scalar energy is that infinite energy.
Understood. Well, that's starting to make sense. And it's not that electromagnetic energy doesn't exist. I mean, correct. That obviously does exist, but they serve different functions, as it were.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Let's backtrack really quick. How did you get into scalar light, scalar energy, scalar light healing? And what about your background, you know, personal or professional, lends itself to this area of research?
It's really a combination of mysticism and scientific inquiry. You have to be able to delve into these esoteric principles, and you have to at least be able to consider that there's another spectrum of energy. Now, Tesla did that. You know, many people don't quite realize Tesla not only was a great electrical engineer, but later in his life, he advanced scalar theory, and he did develop scalar energy instruments. So what is my point? Even though his prowess was known as a scientist, a great, really the father of AC electricity, he nonetheless had the creativity. I think he had mystical gifts that to even consider that radiant energy, what he called it, or scalar energy existed, and that he could harness this energy of the stars. So in some fashion, I believe myself to be part mystic and part scientist. And the two really are traveling partners when you're looking at a new field of science. Scalar energy is poorly understood. It is a new and emerging science. So much of what I've learned is either from Tesla or another inventor by the name of Hieronymus, or from God, from the Holy Spirit. This is not taught in academia. You cannot find, not that I know of, any valid course, any serious study of scalar energy or zero-point energy presently at the university level. Now, there's textbooks that theorize about it, but nobody's developed the scalar energy instruments that Tesla and Hieronymus have. Nobody is a practitioner. They're theorists.
Not today. Certainly, maybe in ancient times, there were people studying that. And I imagine you've done some research in, I mean, whatever research is possible to be done in ancient texts, including maybe even the Bible comes up as like an allegorical chi, prana, Christ consciousness guidebook.
Yes, precisely. You know, I won't expand upon this too much, but I can count on both hands the number of scalar energy scientists who've developed scalar energy instruments. Well, what is it? Maybe we can also call it pyramid energy, or it's the energy of an obelisk, or it's the energy that can create an anti-gravity atmosphere. You know, many people have mused about anti-gravity. It's possible if you can use scalar energy to negate gravity.
Yeah.
So if you have a gravitational force field caused by scalar energy, you can negate that force field and have anti-gravity. It's rather elementary.
Agreed. I was just going to say, and the thought was there, and then where does the ether play into all this? Is this a word that you would use synonymously with chi, prana, etc.?
You know, perhaps we have to define our terms. Tesla used the term ether frequently, and he believed it was a medium. And he believed it was universal, and that it wasn't static. It could bend, it can move, so to speak. You can have an impression upon ether. Well, if that describes scalar energy, then so be it. Then we're speaking of the same concept, of the same fundament. You know, it just begs the question. You know, define your terms.
Right, words are important. Exactly, yes. We need to be speaking the same language. So, how did you stumble into this field? What is your background here?
Again, I have the gift of mysticism. I have the gift of, if you will, of understanding. That's from God. And I read Tessa as a youngster, and I understood what he was doing in concept.
Yeah,
I knew when he had these towers in Long Island, New York, the Wardenclyffe Tower, that was a free energy tower, and I knew he was tapping into the sun. It wasn't a power plant. It wasn't coal or natural gas or oil or electrical. That these... Later in his life, these inventions that he worked with, that he invented, were scalar energy inventions. And if you look closely, all of those inventions are motionless. There's no moving parts. So where do you get the kinetic energy? Where's the motivating force? It has to be from the outside, not from the instrumentation itself. So the kinetic energy, so to speak, are the stars. And these mm-hmm. scalar energy instruments capture star energy. My instrument has no moving parts. So, you know, where does the action come from? The stars.
And do you have an engineering background, or were you raised in a religious faith? Like, I'm really curious, like how the journey started for you.
Yeah, but both to answer your question, I've also had the good fortune to, back in the 90s, I met with the Hieronymus family. Galen Hieronymus was an American inventor, and he has one of the few scalar energy instruments that I consider to be valid. Well, back in the 90s, I was able to purchase scalar energy instruments from the Hieronymus family. And when I started working and experimenting back in the 90s, I said, this is incredible. I can send instructions by way of scalar energy. And I've advanced the inventor's work and his instrumentation. We've, if so to speak, powered up those instruments. I work with a team of engineers.
Got it.
So when we're talking about scalar energy, it seems like we're talking about something that is immaterial, but you are using material tools to harness it. And also, Tom, I want to work through this because I want to not head off, but address what I know would be questions by the skeptics. Like, how do you deal with skeptics? There appears to be like a substantial leap of faith required, yes, given, as you say on your site, things like scalar light is the omnipresence of God, the all-seeing, yes, eye of God. Hence, the infinite character of God cannot be measured. So, yes, you're dealing with the immaterial, harnessing it through, yes, the material, but also saying it can't be measured. And then, additionally, you know, scalar light is the new and emerging science. Therefore, no electromagnetic protocol exists that can either prove or disprove the action and benefits to be derived from the scalar light sessions.
Yes.
So, you're saying it can't be measured. It can't necessarily be even like, I guess, observed, but you're using material objects to harness the immaterial.
That's right.
So how do you address those skeptics?
Yeah, very well. And to be quite blunt, I cannot prove this to anybody. I can only show the results.
Yep.
I have theories, but we're still in the nascent state that we cannot prove this. So let me put this in perspective. Mm-hmm. If this is an infinite energy, there's no basic unit. And yeah, if you don't have a basic unit, you cannot measure something. So if this is the omnipresence of God, nobody can measure the omnipresence of God.
Yeah.
So putting this into context, anybody can measure a distance, a kilometer, a meter, a foot, or a volume. So if this is an infinite concept, it cannot be measured. There's no basic unit. Number two, you're absolutely right. This is non-physical. It's immaterial. We're working in the spirit realm. So this is consciousness. Consciousness, or chi, prana, is non-physical. There's not even a proton involved. So these are the instructions, the intelligence of the universe. Now, to use another analogy, the scalar energy instruments are unique. Imagine if in history you only had 10 inventors, approximately 10 scalar energy engineers who produce scalar energy instruments. And unless you have those scalar energy instruments, you do not have scalar energy a knowledge. You don't have a scalar energy background. Well, consider by way of analogy, what if there were only 10 inventors who had 10 computers? Well, those 10 inventors of those 10 computers have computer experience, but nobody else does.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Nobody else has a computer. Now, you know, that should be a stark contrast, but it's apparent today and it's very real. Why is it that I'm one of the few people on the planet that has a bona fide scalar energy instrument in which I can access that dimension? That doesn't make sense to me.
You've clearly asked that question of yourself. Why are you one of them?
Yeah.
And you've answered. I think you've answered it. It's because you come at this with a sort of innate openness to mysticism, and the marriage between mysticism and sort of science, exactly, and observable, measurable, testable science.
Exactly. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, I want to validate that and also applaud it and say it's very easy for us today, any one of us, to poo-poo any sort of explorations into the unknown or the forgotten, Mike, as you alluded to. I think it's much braver and much more interesting to be open-minded to it and say these are the mysteries of the universe that are being explored.
Yes.
And we don't stop there, because I think we're going to get into some of the testimonials, because you're doing real work. You're actually offering, you know, healing sessions using this technology for people around, you know, around the world. And so I do want to get into that. But first, let's go back real quickly to the machines that you're using to harness this. And maybe we could start with what Tesla was using. Mm-hmm. And do we know how he came upon this? Like, you can't just be throwing things together randomly and hope for the best. Like, he had to have some intuition or something that told him, these are the materials, this is the machine.
Yeah. If you study Tesla, as I have, it's rather apparent. Tesla would say that he would have flashes of light, illumination. Actually, he could actually see these intellectual visions, flashes of light in his conscious or subconscious mind. And those flashes of light, he saw an invention before him. He did not have to experiment. This was not trial and error. God gave him these flashes of light.
The vision.
That's very important. And this is why he's so prolific. How can a man have hundreds of inventions without having to go the regular route of experimentation, failure, experimentation, and then success, or at least marginal success? How is it that he knew on a dime what to do? Because God gave him that afflatus. It's mysticism.
Yeah.
Tesla was not only a great scientist, he was a great mystic. For him, one man to accomplish what he accomplished, he accomplished more than a country of scientists could have accomplished. How is that possible? You know, the industrial age is really, we owe it to Tesla and to a minor extent to Westinghouse and Marconi and Edison. But Tesla was the theorist. Why? Because he was the mystic and he understood this. Tesla had hundreds of patents. Gentlemen, I can't count to 100, let alone have 100 patents.
Right.
You know, it's just one man. It's inconceivable what he's done.
It defies conventional explanation.
It does. He had this supernatural ability from God.
Yeah, yeah, an openness to some aspect of the universe. I mean, Mike is a musician. We've talked about this since he was younger as a songwriter. Mike, hoisting your antenna and just receiving. Basically receiving the inspiration for a song. Well, why is that really any different from receiving the picture of an invention? I mean, what is a song but, you know, the most beautiful of creation?
Yeah. So if you can compose a song, I can compose scalar energy.
Sure.
And this is what Tesla was. He was a composer. He took something from scratch and he invented. You know, he immigrated to the United States with a few dollars in his pocket. And you know, within 10 years, he was the talk of the town. He knew what he was doing because he's talented, because God gave him that talent. So you don't need a lot of a political wheel behind you or money. When you have God's wisdom, that's all you need.
Yeah, and you go ahead. And he was misunderstood, and much of what he did is largely forgotten.
Forgotten and suppressed.
Suppressed.
You're right. You're right.
And I might be oversimplifying, but as I understand it, he was less and less concerned with material life towards the end. I mean, didn't almost like the cliche, like the song, the sound of a poet who died in the gutter, like it sort of died with not a lot to his name, but it almost, it just speaks to someone who's less concerned with the material trappings and just connected to that, to source. And so where I'm always asking this question, I find, of guests when we're in this terrain, but like, where's the overlap with, for lack of a better term, meditation and like channeling that that divine intelligence. Do you have a meditation practice or a practice of building, for lack of a better term, the muscle of connecting to source? Or is it because you know it's there, you believe it's there, you have quote unquote faith that it's there, that it's just there when you need it?
Prayer and scalar energy are synonymous terms.
Would you add meditation to that?
Yes. Prayer slash meditation. Yes. Sure. Slash creativity, cognitive thought, emotions, intention. So we ask ourselves, what is this non-physical instruction? Prayer, meditation, cognitive thought, memory, intuition, creativity, feelings. What is that? They're scalar energy waveforms. They're intelligence, scalar intelligence. Tessa once said, when the world embraces non-physical science, we will make more progress in a decade with non-physical science than we have with centuries of physical science. Why? Non-physical, the instructions drive the universe. The cause is a non-physical instruction, scalar energy, instructions, consciousness. The effect is the physical world about us. Mm. You know, it doesn't make any sense. If you want to drive a car, you get behind the wheel. You don't push the car. So if you get behind the wheel of the car, that's scalar energy. Those are the instructions of the universe. If you don't, then you wind up pushing the car and it's not very effective.
Tom, what were the moments that occurred during your like early research into scalar light that made you go, okay, there's something to this?
You know, I'm Catholic by birth, and I would read the Bible, and I realized that the Book of Revelation had many, great influence on the Book of Revelation as far as scalar energy. If you look at the description of heaven, which is this perfect abode, and you say to yourself, well, that must be the perfect instruction. I believe heaven is governed by scalar energy. So what am I getting at? If you view and if you read the Book of Revelations, the animating force in the Book of Revelation has to be scalar energy or this Christ consciousness. It cannot be electricity. And then I read Tesla, and Tesla would mention to people, I can turn the sun on and off. I can regulate the sun, or I can regulate the stars, or I can regulate this heavenly energy. So all of that started to mesh for me, and we leave behind the electromagnetic spectrum, and then we realize that the governing force of the universe found in the Book of Revelation is the sun, the stars. That's the power of heaven. That's the energy of heaven. Tesla knew that as a scientist and as a mystic. I know that. So when we're looking at this higher form, it has to be scalar energy that is found inside the stars. It has to be this energy that drives, that is the animating force for the universe. So that's a long-winded explanation, but I can guarantee you there's no division between science and religion or science and spirituality. The truth is the truth. There's scientific truth, there's spiritual truth, and it's all from God. Sadly, man has made divisions. Man has made both of these, if you will, fierce competitors. That's foolish.
Right. And Ben used the word marriage of disciplines a few minutes ago. And we've often said, like, why were these ever divorced? That seems to be where we lost the scent.
Exactly. It was foolish on our part.
Was it foolish or intentional? I guess that's a rabbit hole that we don't need to necessarily go down. But that is one that we come back on often, and we see a lot of people coming back on too. Is it an intentional separation?
Yeah.
Well, when you see Tesla's work being what seems to be intentionally suppressed.
Yes. Yes.
Then in
Tesla's day, one day he went out in the evening. When he returned to his laboratory in New York City, he was burned to the ground.
Hmm.
Well, that was intentional. And frankly, the Rockefellers started a smear campaign against him because they realized he had discovered free energy. Why? Free energy makes obsolete railroads, steel mills, the Industrial Revolution. You don't need a copper wire. You don't need AC electricity anymore. Anyway, long story short, the cabal realized that Tesla was about to make their military-industrial complex obsolete.
Mm. Yeah, I'd say there's no greater threat to that than free energy.
Yeah, free energy, exactly. That's what he achieved at Wardenclyffe. Tesla built a tower in Long Island, New York. He called it Wardenclyffe. And it was purported that this gave off or would illuminate objects or gave off incredible amount of scalar energy. If you look closely at the tower, you don't see any power plants in the vicinity. What's power? What gives power to the tower? There's no electrical wires. You know, this is at a time when Long Island was a rural community. Well, why did he do that? Well, he had a water supply in the Long Island Sound, and he was able to extract energy from the stars. That was a free energy tower. And he could have powered all of New York and New Jersey with that tower. And the powers that be did not want that.
Well, and I often pose the question, and maybe it's the obvious question, and maybe people just aren't talking about it. Maybe you're not talking about it, but like, who's doing this today? Beyond healing, yeah. Which you're using your technology for, are you comfortable talking? Do you have devices that can create energy?
Oh, not free energy, but I'm getting there. And if I learn how to amplify the signal, I'll be able to produce free energy for the world. In other words, my instruments, I would say, produce energy as a 1x. If my instruments work as a satellite and I can send energy out to people and animals around the world, then it's a satellite and it's a power satellite, but it's a weak satellite, so to speak. If I can amplify the energy, then my satellite will become a power satellite, not a quantum healing satellite. It will become a power satellite to provide illumination for buildings, for homes. So I have to learn how to take the existing scalar waveform and amplify it 1,000, 10,000, a millionfold. When I do that, then we have free energy and we can make this energy cartel go away.
Mm. I mean, that's real transformation. Tom, let's talk about that real application of your scalar light devices. And I'd love to start, if we could, with, do you know what applications Tesla was doing or using his scalar light machine for towards the end of his career? And then let's go into how you're using yours.
Okay. I can only surmise what he was doing by reading his notes and listening to the eyewitness reports. Just as a factoid, the day he died, Tesla died, the U.S. government seized his inventions and his notes, and they've never released them. So that's the suppression. So what was Tesla doing? Well, once again, to reiterate, in Long Island, he had a free energy tower. In Buffalo, New York, he was riding around in a car that was retrofitted with a scalar energy engine, and he was not using a combustion engine. He was using the free energy of the stars to power his car. So those are two examples, two events in which Tesla was using scalar energy in a practical sense. He was also considering using scalar energy to make invisible or to teleport an object. Apparently, there was an experiment conducted by the U.S. Navy. I think people have heard of this, the Philadelphia experiment. And it was believed that there were Tesla coils on this ship. It was a U.S. battleship, naval ship, that disappeared and traveled from Philadelphia down to Virginia and then back to Philadelphia. It actually teleported. And that is the non-physical event that is possible when working with scalar energy. So did Tesla have his hand directly in that? I don't know. Some people say he did. But nonetheless, the Philadelphia experiment did take place. It proved that an object could teleport instantaneously within the scalar energy dimension. So why do I say this? Just to more or less give the audience a background that this is valid, that this is non-physical, if you will, informational in character, that we're no longer bound by the electromagnetic spectrum. We're working outside of that spectrum, and that it really opens up a new era of living. This dimension and all of its benefits that can be derived from this energy far exceed what we have been able to achieve with electromagnetic energy.
Okay, let's talk about your application of this technology, because you have, you know, you've got a website and you're offering scalar energy healing to folks, and it's remote. Yes. You only need a photograph, yes, of the individual or individuals Let's talk us through how this process works.
Yeah. Okay. So again, working with this non-physical realm, it's the quantum realm. I'm going to hold up my photograph as a reference. My photograph has energy attached to it, scalar energy. I would actually take a photograph, an emailed photograph from a person and place it in the instrument. On account of the fact that in the quantum realm, people bilocate. Even though somebody might be 100, 1,000 miles away, their photograph represents their bilocated version. And I could place their photograph inside my instrument and treat their photograph and subsequently treat their quantum field because they teleport to my laboratory, so to speak. They bilocate to my laboratory. Now, that's only possible in the scalar energy realm and the quantum realm. And when they bilocate to my laboratory by way of their photograph, I can balance their chakras. Mm. I can identify a bacterium and destroy it. Or I can assemble, say, a vitamin or amino acid in the quantum field. So imagine you don't have to visit a clinic. You simply send me your photograph in substitution. Your photograph is your bilocated version. And I could treat you, your quantum field, through your photograph.
It's almost like a voodoo doll.
Yeah, you know, there is merit to what people say that they can pray for somebody at a distance, or that some people have taken a voodoo doll and have performed black magic. I understand that.
Yeah, you do say on the site that the scalar light machine that you use is not a diagnostic tool. So when a person sends their photograph into you, they're also accompanying, like, this is my wish, like this is the thing that I'm suffering from. And then when you put it into the machine, you put the photograph into the machine. Are you directing that intention, or is that sort of just implied because of the already transaction that's happened, the communication that's happened?
Yeah, both, to answer your question. So when somebody sends their photograph, there's an automatic chakra balancing in which this Christ consciousness will balance their brainwaves or seven chakras. Now, the way I program this instrument, I can actually take a photograph of a germ, a microbe. This is the herpes virus. And if I place the photograph, everything's done by way of photographs because we're working with light interpretation. If I take a photograph of a microbe and place it side by side my photograph, in the quantum realm, the photograph of herpes communicates with my quantum realm. So this is interpretation, this is intelligence. And when the intelligence of herpes, the signature of herpes enters into my quantum field, it destroys the herpes virus.
Okay.
So if you will, a photograph of a microbe serves as the instructions to find that microbe and to essentially break it apart.
Very interesting. What are some of the most compelling testimonials that you have?
You know, I'm going on record, and I've said this in the past year, we're so happy. We're working with an HIV AIDS clinic in Delhi, India, Om Prakash. That's on our website. We've worked with 5,000 people at Om Prakash, who've sent us their photograph. Now, after with the scalar energy sessions have been, if you will, administered to the photograph, everybody without exception feels better. People gain weight. Their CD4 counts escalate. And everybody has told us that if they have a follow-up PCR test, there's no viral load. So we've treated 5,000 people at a clinical study in Delhi, India, and everybody is telling us that they no longer have any viral load for the HIV virus.
Okay. And symptoms have gone away.
Yes, correct.
Gotcha. So they are for all intents and purposes, just healthier than they were. And that's the only thing, that's the quote unquote treatment that they've been given.
That's right.
It's just scalar light. Okay.
That's right. Yeah. You know, they're of meager means. It's tough on those people. We do all the work pro bono, but there's no extraordinary means, especially if you're living in Delhi, India. So it's all pro bono. We've treated over 5,000 photographs. Everybody across the board feels better. They don't
just in that one sort of clinical study.
Correct.
How many people have you treated to date?
Today in my laboratory, I'm treating about 500,000 people.
Whoa! How are you able to do that?
The photographs are miniaturized.
Okay.
You can take a collage and you could miniaturize these photographs significantly.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And so how long does the photograph stay in the machine?
When I perform a pathogenic cleanse, it's 1 hour.
Okay.
In 1 hour, I could easily work with 3-4 million people.
Gotcha. Wow. And how many, do you just have one machine or are you able to?
No, I have probably 40 different instruments.
40. Wow. Okay. And then what, like, do you have a staff of people that are, you know, sort of helping you?
No, I'm the only inventor. I'm the only researcher. I'm the only practitioner right now. I have a staff behind me, but every day it's incumbent upon me to treat the 500,000 people.
Okay. Are you training others up so that you can, you know, scale this?
Nobody has shown any interest.
That's okay. That's a little crazy. Given, you know, given
there's
the
no money in this. There's no money in this. This, you can't translate this yet into an industry.
Yeah. Why? Well, I mean, because you are, you are charging people for the treatment on your site.
Yes. Yes. I break even, if you will.
Okay.
But it's still, it's a new science and people, they're just reticent. We're gaining traction. But I see what Tesla experienced. He was ahead of his time. And when he told people these things and he demonstrated free energy, they still didn't believe him.
Is it just because this technology, if you want to call it technology, that seems like a limiting phrase, but is not compatible with like the capitalist system?
Of course. That's the rub. You just hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
This will make obsolete the oil industry. Scalar energy will make obsolete the need for the pharmaceutical product to address herpes.
Yeah.
I've had people have worked with us. They say, Tom, this is from their vantage point. They say, I had herpes and I don't take Valtrex anymore because they don't have any blisters. They feel fine. So, you know, put all that together. This is not only a billion-dollar industry, it will be a trillion-dollar industry.
Yeah. What, Mike, I don't want to cut you off. I know you have
I was curious. You know, these are all, relatively speaking, new waters for us to be wading in, trial by fire. Just this last year of doing this podcast and having fascinating conversations like this one every week. One concept that's on our radar recently, we just interviewed the filmmaker Steve Falconer, who made a film about esoteric biochemistry, which is very much intertwined with the stars and the zodiac and the Bible again. And is that a field that you know anything about or have looked into?
No. I don't have time, but it intrigues me.
Cool. Well, if it intrigues you, check out his film. I think I watched it 4 times because it took me that long to wrap my head around it, but I think you would find it fascinating as well.
Okay.
Because it speaks to the energy of the stars and how we are intertwined with it. Now it gets a little bit more into the material realm in that this science speaks of specific mineral salts that our bodies are comprised of that resonate with different constellations, and that's a whole, you know, and again, an ancient science that was well understood long ago, and that it's just starting to be understood again.
Yeah, you're right, because if the stars broadcast this scalar energy, then we are being influenced by the constellation, the stars, on an ongoing basis. So once we have this organic understanding of the universe, we're going to go back to nature. We're going to say no to the pharmaceutical products. We're going to say no to the chemicals, which is unnatural, which is a contrivance as far as I'm concerned.
Agreed.
Tom, here's a question looking 10, 20, 50 years in the future. Does it stand to reason that the highest like form of iteration of this the harnessing of this technology would be that we wouldn't need a machine at all?
Yes, exactly. I frequently point out to people, everybody has been endowed with scalar energy gifts, as we alluded to, thinking, the human mind, and our emotions, intentions, our feelings, that's a scalar energy waveform.
Yeah.
So God has given everybody this gift, which is his image, scalar energy. Man is made in the image of God, and hence God has, if you will, downloaded, imparted this gift upon everybody. And two great vessels of scalar energy are the human mind and the human heart. Yeah. And this is why we can think, and this is why we can feel. You know, those are two abstract concepts. Well, where do those abstract concepts come from? It comes from scalar energy, which is non-physical. Thinking and feeling is non-physical. It's consciousness.
So in your, okay, so in, As you start to, as you continue your research, and I would imagine apply your imagination to this field, what is standing in our way from removing the machine and being able to harness this without the machine and just our heads and our hearts, as it were?
Yeah, very good. I frequently tell people you don't need an instrument. My instrument really is a stepping stone. And it's really a poor substitution for the mind and the heart. So if anything, my instrument can guarantee an outcome. What do I like about my instrument? If I program my instrument and tell it to destroy the herpes virus, it will do that. It's a repeatable process. So that's one of the reasons why this is a scientific feat. You can repeat a scientific function. Mm. But quite bluntly, everybody has a mind and a heart. And we frankly don't tap into that. We should place greater emphasis as to what we're capable of.
And is that something that are you working to wean yourself off the instrument? Or are you, you know, to build that connection?
I would like to. If you had that connection, you would be comparable in power to that of Jesus.
Right.
You would have, you know, God did not need an instrument. I need an instrument in order to harness God's power. So let me be very clear. Scalar energy is God's power. If I read the Bible and I look at the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant was a scalar energy instrument.
Yeah, I just actually rewatched that Indiana Jones, and it was I did just 2 weeks ago. It's such a fascinating story, and diving into a little bit of that, you know, the Bible, the Ark, its use as a weapon, and then Hitler's obsession with it. It's funny that you mentioned that. Tom, are you still a practicing Catholic? Like, where does religion?
Oh, yeah.
You are okay.
Oh yes. Just to let the audience know, I am a practicing Catholic. Every time I go to my laboratory and I treat, I always pray first because I ask God to heal. I'm not a healer. God is the divine physician. God heals. Mm. And if I can work with God's light, God's communication, scalar energy, scalar light, then God is producing that healing. You know, I cannot heal. I have to depend upon God. And how do I depend upon God? Well, in one way, with the scalar energy instrument that carries his healing. This is God's healing. Mm-hmm.
Can you speak to the nuts and bolts, literally, of how these instruments are constructed?
You know, I copied Galen Hieronymus. By the way, Hieronymus had a U.S. patent for a scalar energy instrument. And what Hieronymus did, and actually his contemporary, is a man by the name of Morey, you have to use a vacuum tube. A vacuum tube is like a miniature star in and of itself in the instrument. So if you want to have a miniature star, a scalar energy instrument, you have to have that, copy that nature. So what am I saying? A vacuum tube allows you to create an environment of scalar energy. This cannot be accomplished by solid state circuitry. You need a third dimension or a fifth dimension by way of a vacuum tube. So the instruments are able to take a scalar wave to harness it through this vacuum tube and then drive it into Tesla coils, and that Tesla coils then will propagate this scalar energy, or at least find your way into a scalar energy, what people call a wormhole or another dimension. Mm. So you're actually leaving the electromagnetic dimension, and I find myself in a scalar energy dimension in my laboratory. And the scalar energy dimension is, again, instantaneous communication.
Okay, you mentioned herpes, HIV. What are some other ailments that are treatable? I mean, you've got weight loss, I think, on there as a possibility. Like, let's run down the list.
But let me mention what we're doing. So if I were to take, say, a photograph of spinach, okay, and I were to place this inside a scalar energy instrument, the instrument would reconstruct, would actually assemble the molecular state of spinach for a person.
Okay.
And my body would experience spinach. So we can assemble by way of photographs of vitamins, minerals, natural foods, hormones, enzymes, proteins, amino acids. So whatever I instruct the instrument to do, it follows my instructions. The light does not make a mistake. this is what I love about my instruments. I really appreciate the fact that I can instruct a scalar energy instrument and it will follow my instructions without mistake. You cannot override scalar energy.
Yeah, well, God doesn't make a mistake, does he?
Exactly. Light doesn't make a mistake. I've said that so many times. Very good.
Yeah. That does stand to reason. Have you applied this on yourself for anything?
All the time. I treat myself 24 hours a day. I'm 62 years of age, and I feel it's extended my life. I believe this has enhanced my prospect of longevity.
Well, I have to say, this is our first time interacting and meeting you. You certainly come with a vitality. There's no question. There's a vitality and an energy and a passion that that comes through the screen. So, there is something that seems to be working there.
Oh, thank you.
What I enjoy is that there is technology involved, and we've spoken that not even ideally or someday, but ultimately there won't be a need for that. We can transcend the technology. I love that idea, and I think that resonates with me. But I like that it doesn't work presently without you.
Yeah.
That it is a tool, but it doesn't work on its own. It's amplifying or channeling, the essence that you are instructing it to channel.
That's correct. Let's take everybody back to the book of Genesis. When Adam and Eve had dominion over nature, that was a scalar energy gift. They lost the gift of scalar energy. And subsequently, they lost their light. They were denuded of light, and they realized that they were naked. So Adam and Eve had dominion over nature. Why? They had that incredible ability to control scalar energy. And they had dominion because of it.
And okay, so the Adam and Eve story is sort of allegory for the loss of scalar energy.
Yes.
What then was the consuming of the apple? What was the serpent?
Well, that was just a test from God. God wants obedience, and Adam and Eve were not obedient. And because of that, subsequently, they lost their fallen nature. Now is we have to inherit this electromagnetic spectrum, which is disease and death.
Okay.
If we would have stayed in a scalar energy environment, you cannot have disease in a scalar energy environment.
In that environment, according to you, was this pre-matter? Do you know what I'm? Do you know what I'm asking?
Adam and Eve were physical. They had physical bodies, but there was no electricity and magnetism. I want to make this very clear. In order for them to have been immortal, you cannot have electromagnetic energy, which is mortality, which leads to entropy, which leads to a loss of life, a degradation of if you will, life, or a degradation of tissue. So Adam and Eve were, if you will, created in the image of God, and the earth at one time was 100% scalar energy. And this is what many theologians and scientists don't understand. Adam and Eve were the perfect prototype. Adam looked like Jesus. Adam was, if you will, made in that image of God. And he had all the gifts. Some people call that the gifts of the divine will. Some people call that the supernatural state. There was no electricity. And once Adam and Eve sinned, then God removed that gift of scalar energy. We inherit electromagnetic energy. And this is why we have disease and death, which is the entropy that's experienced through the electromagnetic spectrum.
That is an interesting take. I have not heard that one. Tom, the sin was specifically eating the apple from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which makes me wonder, because Tesla did create some inventions that were like energy weapons that he realized were potentially used for evil, and he destroyed them. Can this scalar technology be used for evil, or is it really just a benevolent, like healing, positive, constructive device?
That's a great question. To answer your question, sadly, yes. Now, Tesla never released his secrets because he realized that this was the control of nature. He called it the wheel work of nature. Now, if you have the power of a miniature star, and Tesla did, imagine what you can do with that power. I will not sell my instruments. I will never manufacture because I don't know who's going to inherit these instruments. So yeah. I have to be very prudent about what I say and what I divulge to the general public. This is very powerful. These instruments control nature.
Do you think that humans are ready for this?
No.
Okay.
No. Look at the arms race.
I know. No. That's why I ask.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the same question was posed of Tesla, of, you know, what little reading I've done, different conversations that still exist. I can't even validate that they're real or not, but this idea, we're not ready for this yet. People aren't ready for this. Like that was the same shit he said, however many decades ago.
It's sad. You know, Tesla wanted to release this to the governments and apparently had a plan to release it piecemeal to different countries, and that these countries would have to, if you will, form an alliance and bring this forward for matters of peace. So he wasn't going to give it just to one government, to one country. This is what I understand. This is what I've read. If that's true and accurate, then I'm portraying this accurately. So what is the point? If Tesla, that was his notion, he could not give this, appoint this to one country. Well, he was prudent to do that.
Right. It's like, you know, everyone gets a puzzle piece. And in order to complete the puzzle, you've all got to come together around the table.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, but here are, you know, the 10 others working with Scalar Light and Scalar Light machines. Like, do you have concerns about this technology falling into the wrong hands?
I do. And I only can ask that God protects me.
Yeah.
And protects the technology. You know, God has asked me to move forward. I'll just cut to the chase. Over the years, I've received messages from Jesus Christ and the Blessed Virgin Mary. And God has asked me to present his divine energy, his divine light to mankind. And we're taking this step by step. Okay, we can't take giant leaps. The world is not ready for giant leaps.
You know, at the same time that we say humans aren't ready for this, it also feels like we're in desperate need of this. Yeah. Like we are at an inflection point right now in this moment in time where this is just, and it also feels, Tom, you know, Mike talked about some of the conversations that we've had on this podcast, and there really does feel like there is an awakening happening in the human race, and people feel ready, almost already taking that step into the next, whatever it is. And what you're doing feels a lot like what people are stepping towards without possibly even knowing what they're stepping towards, like being called towards this thing.
You're right. A lot of people don't realize that we're going into this new era, the era of peace, and that we're going to be reintroduced to this holy presence of God. You know, we've lost the gifts of God. Well, in order for God to reestablish this kingdom on earth, people have to ask for it, and they have to be mature, and they have to be able to accept it. This takes great spiritual maturity.
Tom, does God transcend a specific religion?
God created everybody, and God wants us to be united. So there has to be a united truth. There has to be a united theology. God doesn't contradict himself. Mm. And if you look at the world, there's tens of thousands of religions, and they contradict one another. Mm-hmm. So that can't be true. So the truth is singular. Mm-hmm. The truth is absolute. So mankind has to understand, what is the truth? You know, how do we arrive at that truth? Well, as a scientist, I'm trying to unify the world through God's light. That's probably the end game here. If I can unite mankind, there's just too much fighting. We're so unproductive. It's silly what goes on every day. It's absolutely bizarre. Absolutely bizarre.
Yeah, you will get no argument from me.
Now, every day I get up, I say my prayers, I treat people, I research, I have a productive day. And I wish the rest of the world would do that and just stop bickering. It's so counterproductive. Mm, and don't emulate the United States Congress because they're so dysfunctional.
Yeah. The word nonsense comes up a lot, but I like your use of the word bizarre. It is truly bizarre.
You know, it's just so unnatural. Yeah. I mean, if you just step back and you look at this, you say, what's the point here? You know, if you're trying to advance society, why would you keep making the same mistakes?
Well, you know, and I think we've spoke of, you know, this whole, the robber barons, the cabal, the Rockefeller medicine. It's like, it's quite a force that we're up against that has quite a stranglehold on the information channels for generations, right? So there's a lot of re-education to do. And I think we are seeing cracks in the wall that it is happening. This idea of people having more questions than answers, but knowing that there's a lot more out there to discover. I can't help but on a trivial level, like this idea that you're like literally amassing photographs and healing people through pictures, and then and that juxtaposed with like the whole Instagram culture and the selfie generation, and it's almost like that's like the EMF version to your scalar light work.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
I also love, I'm sitting up in my recording studio here. I'm surrounded by vacuum tubes. Like there must be 100 of them in this room. And I think it's pretty cool that your technology is largely centered on vacuum. Can you just, because I'm a neophyte when it comes to electronics and engineering. I know how to, I use the stuff, but I don't necessarily know how it's built or how it works. How does a vacuum tube work and what is it?
Well, in reference to scalar energy physics, the vacuum tube that I utilize, it builds up a double helix. That's the best way for me to describe it. You have to encourage this waveform. So my instrument captures a scalar energy waveform, and inside that vacuum tube is a double helix. You have to start with something. You can't start with electricity. So that vacuum tube begets the atmosphere for a double helix. It's not electricity. So I can't describe it in electrical terms. There is no frequency. There's no wattage in scalar energy. Remember, electrical terms are measurable terms. We cannot measure scalar energy. So a vacuum tube is a miniature star. And inside every star, I contend, you will find scalar energy, and only scalar energy. In other words, the sun of our solar system, at the very center of our sun, is pure scalar energy. There is no fusion inside our sun. What drives the sun is scalar energy. Mm. So imitate the sun, which is a vacuum tube, which creates the double helix and will propagate scalar energy throughout the universe.
Tom. I'll never plug into my amplifier the same way again. Plugging into my little star system.
Tom, what happens then when a star supernovas?
A supernova is just an extraordinary release of scalar energy.
Okay.
Now, keep in mind, no star ever ceases to exist. Mm. That's never been experienced. No astrophysicist will ever say a star ceases to exist. It goes through cycles. Mm-hmm. Does it recycle? Yes. Are there black holes? Call it what you will. Whatever term you use, is there a black hole? And you have to define that. Yes, there's a black hole. Does that mean the star ceases to exist? No. Yeah. There's tremendous scalar energy in a black hole.
Right.
It's a vortex that is once again reincorporating physical mass and perhaps non-material instructions and just reforming it.
It's a transformation.
That's it. That's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at any star, supernova, pulsar, call it what you will. It's all scalar energy activity. This is why astrophysicists have to start incorporating this. You cannot describe a pulsar by way of electromagnetic theory. Scalar energy drives the pulsar.
It's a missing piece potentially.
It is.
Yes. Yeah. Tom, we want to be respectful of your time. So I have a question that we ask every guest, and that is, what are your non-negotiables, those things that you do every day to tend to your terrain?
I always want to do the best of my ability, love God, love my neighbor, and love myself. You know, the golden rule, if we would observe that, would transform society. It would cut across every nationality, religion, think tank, university, business. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. I try and I do that as a scientist.
Yeah, you know, if you live by that rule and every action is guided by those three things, I can't see how you go wrong.
No, really?
And then, Tom, where can the listener learn more about you and actually start to engage in what you're doing?
Thank you. Our website, scalarlight.com. Visit the website. Anybody in the world can upload a photograph. We will treat you for free for 15 days. Scalarlight.com.
Amazing. Tom Palladino, thank you so much for joining us on the Terrain Theory Podcast. We appreciate you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Enjoyed the conversation.
Ruthless Mike, Michael Joseph Miranda Jr., welcome to the after party.
Welcome, Ben. Hi.
I'm going to lead with this. This is that was the fastest that all our files, yours, mine, and our guests, have ever processed after stopping recording. So I'm going to just put that out there.
We're on scalar energy.
I don't know what that, you know, I don't know what that means. You know, there were obviously, you know it, I know it. There were some moments where we could have pushed back harder as the host of the Terrain Theory Podcast, as he's speaking about HIV, as he's speaking about herpes, he's speaking about viruses and the scalar energy addressing the microbe. I want to address that elephant in the room right now to you and also to the listener. One, this wasn't the forum to get into a debate about with a guy about whether or not viruses exist. Where my head went immediately was, well, if we accept this idea of scalar energy, God consciousness, this thing that is infinite and not measurable, if we accept that there's this intelligence to it, that it can be used via bilocation or photograph to address an ailment or a disease or something wrong with a person, you could allow that the administrator, Tom, might believe in the existence of the virus, that the person on the other end might believe that it's HIV causing their symptoms, but the machine and the scalar energy itself could go right to the heart of the thing and go, actually, no, it's none of those things. We're going to address it. We're not going to let you know that there's actually no virus, but we're going to fix this thing and you're going to feel better. And no one needs to even, you know, the whole does the virus exist or not doesn't even have to come into play.
Yeah, it's like it transcends. We say words matter, words are important, but it almost transcends language.
Yeah, and if you're talking about balancing chakras or right. addressing, you know, energy in a physical person, it doesn't, you know, the picture of the microbe doesn't matter. Again, it's like the divine intelligence will figure out what needs to be done to make that person feel better.
Correct.
Yeah, so that's the out that I'm going to give to, you know, Tom. And I get, no, honestly. And it's not meant to like disparage, because this whole like virus, no virus thing, as we know, it can be a very challenging conversation to have. And that did not feel like the place to push back on Tom. And I don't believe that his belief in the viruses, or even those in the 5,000 person study, their belief in a virus diminishes one, the symptoms that they were feeling prior to, and two, the, you know, reversal or elimination of those symptoms.
Yes.
You know, however that works. So I'm, and it doesn't diminish my interest in applying this to myself, because I'm definitely going to try this. As we told Tom after hitting recording, like, yeah, I'm in, like, why not? Why wouldn't I go, here's the thing that I know I'm suffering from. I'm going to just do scalar, you know, the scalar light healing and see what happens.
Yeah. And with the work that Tom is doing, I mean, I don't want to say that the conversation around viruses doesn't matter, because it does matter, because that's what the whole medical industrial complex is built on, the concept of killing the virus. In that conversation, of course, it matters, and we are big proponents on tearing down that paradigm. With what Tom is doing, he is already trying to subvert the pharmacological industry with scalar energy. So whatever words he uses to describe the manifestation of disease, that's where it doesn't matter. He's just trying to bring balance, aka health, aka wholeness, to people who are ailing.
Yeah.
And so in the context of that conversation, it really wasn't relevant to push back on that point. So thank you there. I also am grateful two things. It's amazing. This has happened several times over the course of our weekly conversations where something will come up or something will be rattling around in our brains. And then the very next conversation sort of addresses it or follows up on it or it's not it's not necessarily by design in terms of the way we're like setting them up and knocking them down. So I loved, we were in the conversation with Steve Falconer, you know, this idea, this the Bible is allegory and how that can be triggering for people of faith. And that I just love that we had this man of faith, like deep Catholic faith, who is bridging this gap again between, you know, he wants to see faith and material science married again, like we've spoken about often. And so that was really comforting to have his voice in our conversations, in the context of the conversations we've been having recently. That felt good. It felt like it was balancing the scales in some way, which I was grateful for. And the other thing was, I mentioned last week, the word that I was grasping for in our after party last week, or wasn't it after party, it was our wellness check, was the word scalar. It's like, yeah, I just listened to this guy about, he was breathing and talking, what is that word? And the word was scalar. And so here we are literally interviewing scalarlight.com.
Well,
so
yeah.
That just, I mean, there are no coincidences that I couldn't not mention that.
No, because, you know, when you use this phrase a lot, like we're just following the breadcrumbs.
Yes.
And then, so you've got to ask, well, who's dropping the breadcrumbs?
Yeah.
They're not just scattered everywhere. We're not following breadcrumbs willy-nilly. They seem to be all kind of lining up sequentially. And, you know, that's a little bit of faith right there.
Yeah.
Something mystic, something that we can't quite explain that leads us down this path. And we're just following it, right? We're just following breadcrumbs.
I love it. Syncretism or synchronicity or I don't, it's funny as like, even as like, dare I say, thinking intelligent people, like words are clumsy. Words are very clumsy. We do the best we can to use the right words or think of the right words. But the work that Tom seems to be doing and that is, like I said earlier, it almost is beyond words.
It's beyond words. I think, and again, I just want to respect that it is, man, it can be so challenging to hear someone like him talk, to go to his website, to try to learn more about what he's doing, to see that right there on the FAQ, it can't be measured, can't be quantified. It's infinite. Like he said it right there. So it is a leap of faith to even accept like a shred of what he's talking about. And that's hard for people. You know, people just, there's going to be folks who just dismiss this outright. And I don't know, like, are we going to make any progress as humans if we don't take some leaps of faith? It's just not possible. Like everyone, you know, anyone who made any sort of breakthrough was poo-pooed in their time.
Yeah.
You know, their theories were poo-pooed. And I'm not going to do that. I just don't want to be the guy that's poo-pooing. I want to be the guy that goes, okay, like let's go.
You want to be the guy that's poo-pooed?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I'm finding. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just life is way more interesting when you have an open mind and you go, okay, like yes and. It's just a whole improv. Yes and. You're on stage with a bunch of people and you're just going yes and, right? That's all you're doing.
And I keep coming back to this. What it doesn't seem. This grounds me, this idea of prismatic health, and that, and it's just one thing, body, mind, and spirit. And this is another conversation that's really delving into that spirit part of the equation.
Mike, when you do the scalar energy, when you submit a photograph, what is your intention going to be? Because I look at you on the screen and I go, this man has no imperfection. This man has nothing that needs to be improved upon or healed. You are the spitting image of, dare I say, God. So what would you possibly turn to scalar light for, Michael, Mr. Perfect, Mr. Renaissance Man?
OMG. Ben Hardy. So funny. Photos are so funny. Like, we are going to England and Scotland in April, and Ruthie really wanted some new photos. Because, you know, it's nice to update your photos. Like, literally, like, publicity photos.
Yeah.
And so we went out on a snowy day the other day, and Opal, our 10-year-old, snapped some photos. It's like, it's just like, so I had to, like, I'm just responding like in a very like practical sense. I had to like evaluate a bunch of photos. And it's funny, you're so critical. Like, you know, what is a good photo? What is the quote unquote actual representation of me, or how I want to appear, or how I think, or how the press will reproduce it, or how the public will accept it? It's like, so I've been sort of like, photo shoots can be, they can trigger neuroses, at least for me. So that's all wrapped up in what you're asking, you know, like even choosing which photo to submit to something like this. And I think as I hear myself speak, just clearly overthinking it, but it is interesting to overthink. Like, one of my favorite recent photos of me is that one I've been using on my Substack where I have those huge headphones around my ears.
Yeah, I love that one, the black and white.
Around my neck. But like, that's a heavily doctored photo. That's got some hip black and white filter on it, and it makes my skin look more uniform than it would otherwise. And again, I don't think the scalar machine gives a fuck what filter is on it. And then we get into this whole Instagram culture that we're all sort of swimming in. And I think it transcends all that. I think it's not about any sort of trivial, you know, surface level idea of the quality or aesthetic of the photo. It's much deeper and immediate than that.
Well, I think it's interesting that you interpreted my question as, what photo are you going to choose?
That's exactly how I interpreted it. But to answer your question,
you slippery something or other.
Yeah, I'm really good at keeping it surface.
I'm going to listen. I know you haven't yet answered my question, which was, what do you want it to address? I'm going to offer one thing. Okay. Now, you don't have to take the suggestion, Michael, but as, you know, your counsel, your legal counsel, and one of your best friends, I think you should consider this strongly. You don't, as you said to me over text a few days ago, you don't fuck with nightshades. I think that you should use the scalar light so that you can go back to eating mashed potatoes, because you are missing out on one of life's greatest joys.
Okay,
you don't eat mashed potatoes with butter. Listen, with butter, so dairy, butter, maybe some cream.
I eat butter. Okay, I eat butter, but not cream.
You wouldn't do cream. I eat cream.
I love cream.
Oh, you do? I thought you didn't get down with dairy.
No, I do. Ruthie's off the dairy presently. Okay. You conflated the two of us, as many arts presenters have done, because our rider can be so complicated.
Nightshades, though. Nightshades.
You're gonna nightshades, get back on gluten, nightshades. Sugar, alcohol. Those are the ones that I avoid.
What would you do? Scalar.
You know what? Since you ask, Ben, if we're going to get down to nitty gritty in some ways. Okay. The reason I don't eat nightshades is because it seemed that they were triggering arthritic symptoms in me. That was my story.
In your hands.
Specifically in my hands. I probably told the story at some point how I think it was in the last few years. My hands were all flared up, like so bad that I couldn't even play guitar. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And I've had this happen maybe as a result of dehydration on stage. I've told that story, how my thumb locked around my guitar. It happened in Vermont. You were there. I told that story. And Ruthie suggested, you know, my grandma always had problems with arthritis. She went nightshade free. You should try it. I tried it. It worked. Okay. Whether it was psychosomatic or not, whatever. It's a different conversation, but it did work. So when something works, I stick with it. Yeah. Having said that, do I have a couple spots in my body that, try as I might, I cannot get to clear? Yes. Right between my shoulder blades. I think it's maybe from wearing a guitar strap for the last 25 years. Maybe. I don't know.
I would say if it's like the last year, it's because you're carrying this podcast.
It's you embedded between my shoulder blades, carrying the weight. So there's that. You know, when we spoke with Steve and he talked about this part of our body, like the torso, the heart area, and what surrounds the heart, and how that mineral salt is probably deficient in me, so that's not lost on me, and that could be. But I'm really trying to drill down how to release the tension that chronically lives there, and in my right first knuckle of my pinky, which again I think is from finger picking guitar and planting that finger for the last 25 years. I think these are overuse injuries, right? I think, I don't know. But I'm sort of throwing the kitchen sink at it. I would love to, on just a purely physical place, start to alleviate some of those, that tension and that inflammation that I can't seem to kick. On a spiritual, mental place, I would love to just continue opening up my channel with the divine. I keep saying building that muscle because, again, I haven't found the right words, but like this practice of meditation, breathing. I think I mentioned to you via text, I had a recording session a couple days ago where Ruthie and I were doing some singing for someone who we had never met before. It was album produced by a bandmate of ours, so we were sort of hired guns. And it was the first time I was singing really for someone else. It was someone else's song. I was just part of a chorus. And I couldn't help but notice how much more relaxed and connected my breathing was than ever before in my life. And it's because I've been practicing conscious breathing. Now, that's just on a physical level. I was physically able to sing better and be more relaxed, and as a result, more confident, more in tune. All the good shit. But I'm really, really keen to, as I said, keep opening up this channel that allows me a broader and more immediate and deeper connection with whatever this divine intelligence is that, as Tom reminds us, is always there, always present, and that each of us, I think, can continue practicing opening that channel. And if this is another way that I can use to broaden that channel, so be it. I mean, even at that session, while I'm just ranting here, there was a conversation that came up about AI, just like little small talk. And there's a bunch of other people there I'd never met before. Just like, so you're getting to know each other and people are just talking about what they're fucking talking about. And this conversation on AI came up and how it's going to remove all these jobs and what will people possibly do when AI takes up all the jobs and we have nothing to do. And I'm just thinking, like, are we really worried about not having anything to do? Like, I could literally sit and nasal breathe all day and keep building my connection to source. Like, that is something to do, but it doesn't strike me as a problem. Of course, in this particular group of folks, that wasn't necessarily on the menu as like an option that's like a worthwhile pursuit. But that's just where I'm at. There's no shortage for me of things to be doing to continue deepening and enriching my connection prismatically to greater wellness.
You've been on this path for some time. How long has it been that the mammals, or Mike and Ruthie, have been singing "Fall on My Knees and Pray"?
Oh wow, that's funny. That's funny. That was you're talking about. Literally, the song is called "Fall on My Knees."
Correct.
But I think it's funny. I'm going to file that right next to how many years did we sing "Cluck Old Hen" when we didn't when we didn't own any hens? We were just total posers, and now I can sing "Cluck Old Hen" as not a poser, and now maybe I can even sing "Fall on My Knees" as not a poser too.
You were manifesting, and you didn't even know it.
That's the power of song, right?
That is the power.
All right, let me turn the tables back at you. If what are you gonna try, or I don't know if, how much of our intention is even relevant to the scalar light optimizing, but what would be on the top of your list? Obviously your skin.
Yeah, no, I'm still getting like this rash on my arms and sometimes on my legs, and I don't know, you know, if it's, if, again, I just don't know if it's food.
Does it come and go?
Comes and goes, and you know, just based on that that water fast that I did, and the fact that that was like the best it had been, it does feel like it's related potentially to whatever I'm eating, mm-hmm. or maybe something in my gut. But hey, if the scalar energy does the trick, then it does the trick. So I'm gonna try that out and see what happens.
This does seem pretty tied into our conversation with Rob Norris, right?
And his work, because he's doing remote energy healing.
As far as I know, not using any sort of technology, apart from maybe some crystals and some pyramids.
Correct. And, you know, he was talking about the Teslatron, which
right?
Was
no, that did come up. You're right.
You know, heal cancer.
Right. And there's always that one dude on Instagram who wants to push back on everything that we mentioned.
I know. I love that guy. I don't think he's going to hear us because he doesn't listen to the podcast. He just looks at what's being posted and then goes, what about measles? What about polio? Like, kids dying because they don't have their shots. And
yeah.
God bless the people who try to chime in. I think Charlie Paul or Paul Charlie or something like that. And I'm like, hey, you haven't done your reading yet, have you? I just gently point him to the resource page on terraintheory.net, and just, or any of the podcasts, and be like, you haven't listened yet, have you? You haven't actually read anything that you're supposed to be reading. You haven't done your homework, kid. You
haven't done showing your own research.
Yeah. You've come up to class and you're pushing back on the conversation. It's like, dude, you haven't even done, do the work at least before you chime in. But he's got his own, you know, he's got his own journeys. He's had some health challenges, and God bless him for... you know, God bless him for pushing back, you know, having a voice. No one's going to get silenced here.
You know what? That's it. We do not want to be part of the cancel culture, do we, Ben?
No. Just gently nudge this guy. Be like, hey, do the reading. You haven't done the reading? Just do the reading. Do your homework.
Yeah. Well, what else? Okay. So obviously, I think that's the big one. Yeah.
I think I'm just going to focus on that. That's the most immediate thing. And, you know, I feel like I've been throwing the kitchen sink, probably haven't been as committed, as dedicated, as focused, as I could be on like the, you know, the diet and the consumption part of it. But I'm going to try this, see what happens, and go from there and just see what else happens. You know, I think that this device or the scalar energy figures it out for you. It's just like, hey, I can sort of automatically detect what's imbalanced, and I'm going to try to balance it. So who knows what else is going to get, you know,
addressed,
sorted out.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. What a passionate fellow, Tom. Yep. He reached out to us, and we sort of went in blind to some degree. And like I said, scalar was on my radar because of recent... the Alpha Vedic podcast I listened to last week that I mentioned with Barlando. Anyway, really interesting how I think he mentioned it post conversation, but that he's really operating in the underground, right? Mm. Because this is, we talked about Tesla a lot. I feel like Tesla as a cultural figure is part of the cultural vernacular. People know who Tesla was, whether they go deeper into what he was all about, or, you know, what, and there are even some people who say like he was an invention, or because people who don't trust history at all. Right. But I like that Tom is clearly a Tesla acolyte, and there's obviously something there. I mean, he was talking about Tesla driving around in a free energy vehicle.
Right.
Right. And this is what it sounds cuckoo ca-choo, but you know, when we last conversation talking about, we're here, we are like bickering about fossil fuels or solar panels, when like Tesla was already driving around in an ether energy vehicle. I mean, I was kicking myself for not pulling into the last conversation when we were talking about energy, you know, peanut oil, hemp oil, all the veggie oil that we're not exploiting and utilizing in a regenerative, use what you got, ecological abundance mentality. But here we are again with the ether sort of rendering it all moot if we could just open up our radio signal to to tap in.
I think 2023 is going to be a big year.
I think you're right.
In this space. I think it's going to be a big year. It's going to be a big year for us. I think it's going to be a big year for others who are diving into this.
You know what I'm noticing? I think the last few years, you know, I mean, well, it's not mince here. It's like, you know, starting in 2020, like the fucking shots were fired. And it took us, a lot of us, literally, fuck. You know, there was a lot. It's this whole thing of like, I don't know if it being emboldened is the right word, but we're, you know, it took us a while to find our footing in this new, in this war, for lack of a better term. You know, like, this seems to be the year where more people are more sure of themselves and speaking a little louder with a little bit more swagger, less doubt, more clarity, more confidence, having done more research. I'm noticing it in you know, between you and I, but also some of the people like Alex Zek and his journey. I think you're right. The ripples are just getting bigger and bigger and reaching more and more people and being received, because it's like you can put it out there, and this is what Tom was talking about. You can put it out there, or it can be shining down from the heavens, but if you're not there to receive it, it sort of falls on deaf ears. But the connection is becoming more and more tangible, and I think you feel it, and I feel it too.
Yeah, and I think a lot of folks who are listening can feel it as well. And I just want to give everyone out there who is listening or listening a big shout and a thank you. Again, we appreciate all the ears, all the feedback, all the notes, all the reviews, all the love and encouragement. We're doing this not just for us, but for all of you as well.
Amen. And the last few episodes, there's been some heavy stuff. 2023 has not been, we've been, as we said, we were going to set the tone with Steve Falconer and hit the ground running. And so thank you for sticking with us and for taking this roller coaster with us. As you can tell, it's not super calculated where we're going to go next. We're just following those breadcrumbs. Whoever left them, we're following them. Yep. And so are you. So we are grateful to have an audience at all. It's an honor to be part of this greater dialogue. And the fact that people spend time with us is not lost on me. So gratitude and humility abound. Thank you.
I'd like to say it can't get heavier than talking about God consciousness, but Michael, God consciousness cannot be measured, and therefore it is not heavy or light. Folks, nothing you heard here should be taken as medical advice, as neither Mike nor I are medical experts. However, go check out Scalar Light, the website, and give it a shot. Remember that you are light, you are love, and you are your primary healthcare provider. Thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you on the next one.